Chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Heavenly Father, thank you again for all that's taken place, our fellowship and our praises, Lord, and the praise reports, and we're thankful for that, Lord. We look now to your word. I pray our hearts to be prepared this moment. Help us to get the distractions of life and the distractions of the world around us just cleared out for a bit, Lord, where you have freedom to speak to each mind and heart that's here today, Lord, and that it's always our prayer that if there's one or more that need to be saved, today would be the day they'd call on your name, and we'll trust you in advance for that, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message today is What Changed? What Changed? And a few weeks back, I got a little sidetracked with a couple of the holiday. I had a holiday or something, but a few weeks back, you know, we had talked about the results of the fall of man. When sin entered into the first parents, Adam and Eve, and then the world populated, in Genesis 6:5, I use this text that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God saw that, and he decided that he was going to destroy the earth. But it also, we talked about the fact that Noah had found grace in the sight of the Lord. I did a message about that, how Noah found grace, him and his family, who his parents were, grandparents were, and that with the knowledge that he had, he had found grace in God's sight. And of course, when God decided to destroy man with the flood, he had Noah build the ark, and we talked about that. And he preached 120 years, and the only people that were saved was his sons and his sons' wives. Of course, him and his wife, and they, of course, that was just eight souls, and how that ark was a type of Christ. People, anybody that put faith in God after Noah preached for that long, if they put faith in God and they went in the ark, they were spared. If they didn't put faith in the ark, they drowned. I mean, that's pretty cut and dried, right? It's that way. Listen, today, if you put faith in Christ, you're saved. If you don't, you're not. I mean, and there, you're going to be destroyed too. It's pretty cut and dried there. And but here we come into chapter 11 after the flood. This is after the flood. And the population started to multiply some, and I don't know how many there were on the earth at that time, but they started to, and they were told, to go out not only here, but probably back in chapter 9, they were told to go out and replenish the earth. I think that's where it is in chapter 9 after the flood. And that was actually a command that was given all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, I think, or 2. It was given 1:28. The same command was given to Adam and Eve that they would replenish the earth. And that word replenish can be translated to fill. They were to scatter out, fill the earth with people. But we see in our text today, it says in verse 4, they said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So here they wanted to build a city, they wanted to build this tower, and they kind of wanted to consolidate everybody. They said they had this fear, lest we be scattered across the face of the earth. So they were afraid of being scattered. So they're doing something that's actually opposite of what God commanded them to do. And, of course, then we see also pride still existed. I think I talked about that a few weeks ago, that pride had to exist before the fall of man because Satan appealed to the pride of Eve. And he said, if you eat, you're going to be like the gods. You're going to know good and evil. And then we know that Lucifer fell, an angel fell in heaven by pride. So pride existed there. We talked about that some a few weeks ago. And so here we see that there's a rebellious people that still existed after the flood. So and what got me to thinking about this, a week before last, Sherry and myself and Damian, Brianna, Charlie and Kyle, we all went down to up to the Sight and Sound Theater. They had Noah, the Noah thing. And it's really cool. I was telling you all about it. And they got actors and they can sing. And man, they got props and they had real animals. And they had some that were, you know, like robotic looking. I mean, they looked like real animals, but they had real ones and the animals were all trained. But to carry forth the narrative of the story, you know, they got to kind of do things on speculation. I mean, you know, they go by the Bible basically by that. But then they, you know, they got the actors interacting with one another. And one of the things towards the end of it, I mean, in the beginning of the play, they also had this, there was this evil city with an evil king, which kind of represented the world, and he was luring people and enslaving people. That's what sin does, and he's luring people away from Noah, and there was some that came, Noah bought some of them people as slaves to have them work on the ark, and, you know, during the converse of things, they were trying to get them to trust God, and, you know, when it got down to the time the ark was going to be closed, you know, there was a conflict in their mind on being saved or not being saved. You could see the, you know, you could really feel the, and you're wanting this one girl, she stayed, but she wanted her sister, and her sister just, the king kept calling them this, you know, which represented the world. And so, but when they got in the ark and God shut the door and the flood happened with the actors there, and this is speculation, but it's probably true because human nature's probably happened. You know, they were in the ark over a year in that ark. I mean, even though it was a big boat, and I know about being on a boat with a bunch of people for a long time, things get, you know, what happened with the Noah's sons and, well, everybody, they started getting kind of testy, you know. They started getting just aggravated with each other. I know y'all don't know nothing about it, but I'm trying to explain it to you best I can. And they, you know, and two of Noah's sons, they like run into each other. They're carrying something in the ark. There's something they had to do, and they run into, hey, look out. Next thing you know, they're getting ready to get into a fight. And Noah, in the play, he runs down there, and he says, stop, what are y'all doing? Stop. And he said, y'all are acting just like the people that God destroyed on the outside. And then he says, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Our hearts are still the same. This is true. Our hearts are still the same. What, you know, who's going to deliver us from this? And it's really cool. I'll just have to spill the beans. If you go see it, it won't take away from it there. But what happens, the ark is kind of facing you. It's huge. It's a big thing. It's bigger than this ceiling, and it's big. But the sides fall away, and the main beam down the center and the two beams up on top, it's like a cross. Everything falls away but a cross. And then the front of that main beam opens up, and Jesus is standing there. And he's saying, come into the ark. But I got to thinking about that, and I pondered about this in my mind. This is what happens to me. I know you older people, I used to wonder, how in the world people they talk about they can't sleep? Man, I used to, I go to sleep like a rock. Well, now I'm one of them ones that always can't sleep, you know. 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, and stuff gets on your mind. Not really bothering me, but, you know, it gets on your mind about things. And I started thinking about that. You know, what changed? Well, you know, the ark was a type of Christ. It was. If you got in the ark, but Christ had to come, because what happened was their hearts didn't get changed by being saved from the flood. But I started thinking about this time, you know, this as this went on, you know, God being omniscient, God knew this. God knew that when when they came out of the ark that their heart wasn't going to be changed. And now we see here, we see a rebellious people. They still had pride. They wanted to try to go. God told them to scatter, and they're trying to keep the people from scattering. And listen, there was a lot more other problems and sin than that going on as well. And I had this thought. Now listen, don't take this. I wonder why God does things sometimes. Not wondering like, hey, God, you made a mistake. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just a thought, you know. I know that God knows more than I do. And I know that God, you know, we got a finite mind and he's got an infinite mind and we can't understand. But I had a thought. Why didn't God just send a Savior then? I mean, he knew that the ark saved the people by faith that got on the ark, but at the same time, the ark didn't change their heart. And so we know when we come to this day and time, you know, Jesus said, and Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, you must be born again. God knew this the whole time. Why wasn't there a Savior then? Why go through the ark deal? Why not just have a Savior come? And so I pondered about it. And I know God knows what he's doing. I'm not questioning God, man, you probably messed up there. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is what came to my mind. So I started, you know, Sherry and I sat down and we had a big conversation about it. I got a theory. I don't know if it's right. So I had to call Pastor Neil Wood, a former Pastor Neil Wood, and he'll be preaching for y'all some in September. And I'm going to have him come in December. Too, but I called Neil. I said, hey, Neil, man, have you ever heard anybody discuss this? He said, no. I said, we haven't got an ism attached to it. He said, no. You know, theologians, they got isms for everything. Is there an ism attached to why God didn't send Christ at that time? And he said, no, I never heard anybody talk about it. I said, well, this is what I think. You know, I talked to you about dispensations a while back. You know, you had the innocence and, you know, we had a dispensation with promise, and we had the dispensation of government, and we had the dispensation, and government came first, innocence and government and promise, and then law. Law was coming. And I thought maybe this is just me thinking. I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just why I was trying to think, I'm trying to figure out why God did it this way. And I may be totally wrong. But the law was going to come. The only thing that makes the law have any weight is the consequences or punishment. Parents, you know this deal right here, right? You can tell Johnny not to do something all day long, but until Johnny knows there's the consequences of doing what you tell him not to do, he probably won't listen to you. He probably won't. We see it in society today. I mean, if the criminals, we're going to keep letting them go, the law has no weight. The law only has weight because of the enforcement of it, which would be by, you know, in our country, incarceration and or up to the death penalty if you do something bad enough. And so I just had this thought. I thought, well, maybe what it was, and Sherry and I talked about it, I said that there had to be a worldwide judgment so that when the law was given, that the people would know that God had judged the whole world at one time, and that we know there's a future judgment, and that the world would also know that God would do it again. He would, not the same way, but there would be a future judgment. Just a thought. I mean, I'm just thinking. It had to be, I mean, there had been judgment on individuals, but then there was a collective, a worldwide judgment. And that gave weight to what God said, the law. It gives the weight to the law. It has to be. Then that's just my speculation, but I can't think of another reason why. I know that, you know, some theologian would sit around and say, well, you know, the reason is Jesus had to come when the Greek was the known language in the world because Greek was such a specific language, and that was, but God could have done all that back then, right? He could have just done all. I don't know why. But anyway, this is the way God did it. And maybe a continuation of the fact, even though there was the threat of judgment, look at this, even though there was a judgment that happened, and the people that came out of the ark knew all about it, and they started replenishing the earth, they still hadn't changed. Their heart had not changed. They still continued to do and have pride in wickedness. And that's it, and we get up to the day. So, you know, this is just food for thought. Of course, you can lay awake a long time, trust me on this, thinking about those. And so I just had wondered about it, and we see what happened. And so what changed? We see the world today, apart from Christ, is still the same. It's still the same. So just got 3 points for you. Number one, we see rebellion in verses 1 through 4. It talked about the whole earth was one language. It came to pass, they journeyed from the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar. They dwelt there. And they said, let's make brick, burn them thoroughly, add brick for stone, slime, every mortar. And let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach up to heaven. Let us make a name. See, they wanted a name for themselves. There's pride. Lest we be scattered abroad, which is a contrary to what God wanted them to do. So, we see the sin of pride. We see they wanted to build this tower. This tower, it's called a ziggurat. It was made like a pyramid, where it's wider at the base and as it went up, but it recessed in each, you know, it had steps. And that they could go around. Usually what they would do, they would build a shrine on top to some god or goddess of theirs. And that, you know, they could go up there and worship that. That's what they were building, this tower right here. They really weren't going to go all the way. They knew they weren't getting all the way to heaven. As a matter of fact, they weren't even thinking about the one true God for the most part. But here we see a people that are in rebellion against God. And they are building their own deal. They're doing their own thing. Look at the world we live in today. What are we doing? I mean, majority, many are called and few are chosen. The majority of the world is lost and doesn't know God, and the world is doing its own thing. It's building its towers. It's building its cities. It's trying to make a God of its own imagination, a God of their mind, and worship a God of their own imagination. And we got all kind of false religions all over the world and cults all over the world because man is just not going to do it God's way because of that rebellious heart. You know, nothing has changed. And so they wanted to make a name for themselves, pride. They were afraid to be scattered abroad, afraid. Now, listen, I'm going to say this right here. Never be afraid to do what God tells you to do. Never be afraid to do what God calls you to do. God's not looking. God is good. God's looking out for your best interest. God is not trying to harm you and hurt you and be mean. I mean, man, He wants what's best for you. Don't be afraid to go in the direction that God leads you to go. And so we see this, and then they disobeyed God. So, like most of the world, as I talked about for that, and. You know, they were really building the anti-kingdom. That's what the world is, you know, the world system. It's the anti-kingdom of God. We've got the kingdom of God. But, you know, Matthew 12:30 says, he that is not with me is against me. There's only two sides. There's no in between. You know, if you're not with him, you're against him. You're building against him. You're not building. So, you know, they were trying to build their own city. They were trying to do it their way, but they're really against God. That was rebellion. So we still see it in the world today. But the Savior's different today. You know, there's a heart change there. So God's response to that was in verses 5 through 9. The Bible tells us that pride goes before destruction. And they wanted to go up to God, but guess what? God said God came down to them. Not that God had to come down to see what they were doing. He already knew what they were doing. But, you know, the men, they were afraid to be scattered. You know what's going on there? There's a natural thing in man. They wanted to be together because unity in that sense gave them a false sense of safety or a false sense of power. But it's false. That's what we think. And that sense of power, we see it today. And this is why it's hard. I remember David Gibbs said this. I'll never forget it. It was always true and right. It's right. He said that one of America's problems is the prosperity of America makes it harder for people to be saved. And you know why? Because we got education. People put faith in that. We've got money or wealth. People put their faith in their money. We've got technology. today. Man, everybody thinks, boy, you know, this is the information. I mean, it is kind of a cool thing in a way. I mean, anything you want to find out. We got it on our, we got a little computer, that phone that everybody's addicted to. Man, you can look it up, right? We got technology. Well, that gives you the ability to do things, man. You know, you're not as dependent on anybody as you used to be. You don't have to be. And that, but that causes you having a problem being dependent on God. It's hurting us, really. It's hurting us somewhat. You know, when you're really totally helpless. You know, if you ever, we got some people that wanted to be life, we got lifeguards in here, right? We went, they had lifeguards. But when they teach you, this is one thing they teach you about a lifeguard, about life. If they didn't teach you this, Janiyah, I'm going to give it to you. When somebody's out there flogging around in the water like a maniac, nah, just let them float a little bit. Huh? When they get about half drowned, you can rescue them. They'll give up. If they got enough energy to fight, they'll drown you. And what they tell you, man, just let them get down there. They're about to go, you know, down for number three. You go out there and then you can get them. Now they're going to relax. You can't rescue them until they'll let you do it. Because why? Because they're trying to do it themselves. See, so what happens with today trying to get somebody saved today? This is a tough day to be a preacher, man. It's a tough day to get people saved. Man, when people was poor, didn't have nothing, they was hanging on by a thread. Buddy, if you gave them any news of Christ, any news that God had, that he's the Savior of the world and there's hope there, buddy, they'd get saved. They would come out and get saved. Now, man, I don't worry about it, man. My bank's full of money, man. I got all the technology. I know what I do. I don't have any needs. I've been educated. You know, I don't need all that. Listen, it's hard to get somebody saved. That was their problem. That was it. That's what these people, they're doing it all themselves. And it's the biggest problem, biggest hindrance for man getting to God today. So God says, listen, I'll tell you what, he wanted to scatter them, right? Well, I don't know if you've ever been in a foreign country. If you, or you've been around a lot of, you know, and I was overseas, I was in Italy and Sicily particularly, and you know, you kind of hang around the people that you can talk to. I mean, I learned enough Italian to get around. You know, I could buy something and get around there and ask the girls what their name was. I knew how to do that, and tell them they were beautiful. But you know, you hang around. So God, he changed all their languages. Well, guess what? Now you got this big construction crew, kind of like the construction crews in America today. Nobody's speaking the same language. They got this construction crew, and they couldn't do it. So they ended up, they scattered, and they went off. And this is how we got the nations all scattered around. They went around. This is what God did. So the very thing that they were trying to do, God turned it around. He did it his way. The Hebrew word for Babel, B-A-B-A-L, is confusion. He caused confusion. There's a Hebrew word close to it. It's Babel. It's B-A-B-A-L. Or E-L, one is E-L, that Babel, B-A-B, I'm sorry, I did it wrong. B-A-B-E-L means the gate of the gods, lowercase G-O-D. B-A-B, the Hebrew word is B-A-B-A-L, and it means confusion. So God's judgment, he turned the gate of the gods, became the door of confusion, and they couldn't work any longer. And of course, what happened? The very one thing they were afraid of being separated, scattered, and they put their trust and strength in unity, he took it away. He took their unity away, their strength there. So he took their dependence on those things away. Their greatest fear, scattered them all over the earth. The Bible, there's a saying that Christians use, or theologians or preachers use all the time, that man rules but God overrules. And that's true in this case right here. The same, very same thing happened to Israel. You know what? In reverse, God, they were called by God to be a peculiar people. He gave them a name for themselves. He said, "I'm going to give you a new name. You're going to, you know, my people. You're going to be called Israel." And he blessed them. He united them, one nation. They were going to have their own land. He gave them their own land. He did everything backwards in what the world was. This is what the world is trying to get. This is what you really want. What the big things today in the world, what do we want? We want, when I grew up, you know, get an education, work hard, you know, buy a house, build a house, have a family, you know. And but we were told, you know, work, which nothing, you know, God's for it, for working and all that, but we can't get everything. But they were trying, what do we want to do? What are the attractions today? Prestige, name for yourself, power, long in there, wealth, which is power, getting money, position, all those things. Well, God basically said, listen, I'm gonna be your God and you're gonna be my people if you obey me. There was a contingent. You have to obey me. I'm going to give you a name. You're going to be Israel. I'm going to give you your own land. I'm going to bless, man, your crops, your herds. Everything's going to bless. All the stuff you wanted. If you're a farmer, what do you want? You want your crops and herds. I'm going to give you all that. If you just listen to what I got to say for you. Why? Because I'm going to do you right, right? Plain language. And what happened? They disobeyed God. They didn't listen. What happened to them? They got scattered. Babylonians came and got them and took them away, and then they got scattered all over the earth. He was going to unify them. The same thing happened to them, what God told them they should have been doing. He scattered them all over the earth, took the blessings away. Everything went back in reverse. Didn't do it God's way. Why? Heart hadn't changed. This was way after the flood. This was way after this. Heart hadn't changed. Then the third point, our reply, we see. We think about Babel. Well, from Babel, where's where Babylon, we get the word Babylon later on, which was an actual city, the Babylonian. God used the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, to chasten Israel, to take them into captivity. God allowed that to happen. Influenced Nebuchadnezzar to do that. We look at that city in a spiritual sense, or the Babylonian spirit, it still exists in the world today. All the things that we, you know, kind of talked about already. It represents, for the Christian, that spirit of Babylon represents a challenge. it's a challenge to every believer. Really, it's really a challenge to every person in the world today. Babylon in Scripture represents pride, moral corruption, defiance against God. That's what we see in the world today we're living in. I mean, the world just does so much to us. No prayer in school. Which, how are they going to? I mean, that's public prayer. They can't stop you from praying in school. But no prayer in school, no Bible in school, no Bible in the workplace, no prayer in the workplace. Can't mention God. Man, everybody's afraid of God. We see it all over. That's the spirit of Babylon, the worldly influence. It's taken us away from God. It just is. Everything that we see in some way, shape, or form, you might have to really dissect it, but you'll see it's glorifying sin, immorality, anything, you know, drugs all over the place. Pornography everywhere. That's the world system that we live in, and it is pulling on every single one of you and me in here. Every one of us. It's pulling us somehow away from God. Even if we're out there and we're not in absolute sin and something, but even the world system of trying to gain the wealth, the power, and God's not telling you, I'm not saying, well, hey, just quit your job. He's not saying that. It tells us by the sweat of our brow we're going to earn our bread and all that, but we put the priority on that. We put the priority on it. And entertainment, there's another god of the world, right? There's this other Babylonian god, entertainment. Man, we got to be entertained. We got to the point it's just excessive, you know. It gets to be excessive. Some of them things by themselves they're not a problem, but when they're excessive, you know. So we see it in the world today. It's in moral corruption, my goodness. And so this is the world system that we got. The world system is godless, number one, but that it doesn't stop there. It'd be bad enough it was just godless. It's anti-God. So that means there's a concerted effort against God. It's not like they're neutral. And they say, well, we don't believe in God and we don't have God, but if you want to believe in God, it's okay. Oh, no. Oh, no. The world out there today is, buddy, you better not. Don't bring that around me. I don't want to see it. There's lawsuits every day. David Gibbs, I got several books by David Gibbs and newsletters by David Gibbs. They got lawsuits every day. Somebody put a manger scene up. It offended somebody. Some guy out in San Diego bought a house, and across the way there's a big monument, a statue, World War I or World War II veterans monument over there. And he went to court to sue because that cross offended him. And thank God that a judge in there had common sense. He said, well, what in the world did you buy a house across from it for if the cross offended you? Get out of here, threw the guy out of court. But it'll get to where it won't. It'll get to where it won't. Man, I mean, you know, it's just, so the world is not only godless, it's anti-God. It's, you know, it's anti-Christ in particular. You can have a God as long as he ain't Jesus. Huh? I mean, if you can make up a God and it'll be okay. You can be a Muslim and they get less persecution in this country than Christians do today. And so, we see that this world system hates Jesus Christ, hates him. Hates him with a passion, buddy. Every generation of man builds its own tower of some kind. I thought about, we had the World Trade Center. That word trade, money. World Trade Center. I'm sorry that what happened. But that was a man-made tower that represented everything that man does. And we see what happens ultimately to what man does. It just is gone. We build these Empire State Building. It's still standing there. Empire State Building. World Trade Center. Money. You know, everything revolves around those things. There's all kind of mega corporations and technology. You know, the technology in the world's influence today, it's unbelievable. They have a new, there's a name called technopoly, where technology has a monopoly on everything in our lives. I mean, we see it. Man, I tell you what, I go by, I passed my granddaughter the other day coming down the road with driving her car. What's she holding in her hand on the steering wheel? Somebody tell me.
Cell phone,
exactly. Had cell phone in her hand. Can't drive a car without it. I watch sporting events on television, and people pay, man, them hockey tickets, man, they'll pay $100 to get in there to the thing, and you look in the stands and everybody's on their phone while the game's going on. I can go to my own family. All my family will come in and they'll get all on the couches and everything, and I'll look out there and every single one of them sitting there on their phone. Family time together on the phone. It's like, it's an addiction. It's a good thing. I mean, you can use it as a good tool. It's handy, phone call. Man, you can get. But I'll tell you what, it gets to occupy your mind. Facebook, all that stuff. It's like the technology. When do you have time for God? I say this all the time, and it's true. If you spend as much time reading your Bible as you did on Facebook, good night. We'd have some spiritual giants, man, quoting scripture like it's going out of style. It'd be it's unbelievable. You know, the guy, the primary owner of Facebook, now called Meta Platforms, I knew his name, it slipped my mind. Y'all probably know who it is. Yeah. He's got a new company that now is gathering. What they do is they've already been doing this. They gather all the information, but now they're getting it all gathered up and categorized. They got a name for it, and they're going to be selling that to, you know, people can get it from them and all that. Everything you do is tracked. Everything. Everything you watch on your phone, your television, because it's satellite, they know what you're watching. They know what you're surfing for. That's why them algorithms come up. You know what's even weird? You can be sitting around the house talking about something that you never even looked for. And the very next thing, I just had it happen the other day. I'm not even sure I talked about it. I think I thought about it. It was something I was wanting to, huh? Isn't that scary? But you're going to get on there and you're going to do it anyway, aren't you? You ain't going to get away from it. You can't do it. It's like it's killing me, man. I'm so addicted to my phone. Huh? Mine's back there on the, I don't even have mine on me. It's back there filming all this right here. I just look at, oh. I mean, it's just like, this is what it is. My phone has got to be, and we got to have it. We can't, you leave home, you people about to have a heart attack.
I forgot my phone, turn around, stop the car.
Some of you laughing now. You probably went out of the house this morning and forgot. And they turn around and they got to run back and get it. It don't matter if they're going to be late for get their heart operated on. That a doctor can wait. I got to get my phone. Huh? We're going in there with a phone. Holy day. Huh? My dad and Gene Hodges, both the same. My dad, he got to get them cigarettes. He's addicted to them. He have him think, come in, had to have him right there next to his heart. Knowing he ain't lighting up in here. But if he didn't have cigarette and a lighter, Zippo light, not a Zippo, went to the Bix. Huh? Got to have it right there close to your heart. That's what we got. We've got to that point in this, the technology. But buddy, what you buy, everything you buy, food, clothes, where you go, GPS tracking. They know where you're at every second. I got one of them hunting apps. Updates the satellite image every month. Every month I get a new satellite image to keep me up to speed. I can look over at my house and see my car. I can tell if Sherry was home or not. Huh? My car, I see my truck parked in the driveway. I can look back. If I get old ones, I can see my other truck parked. You know, you can see everything. You know, that's just a simple old thing we got on our phones. It shows me the property lines. Ain't nothing to see. I know where everybody's property line. I know where your line ends and the next one starts, and I know what their name is, and I know where they live. It gives me their address. Huh? But it controls your life. It's controlling our life, really. We don't even realize it. It's just so, man, they got a thing on there. They're probably going to end up taking it off, where you can go and look and see how many hours you spend on your cell phone. You ought to look at that sometime and think, good grief, how much time did I waste? Huh? How much time did I waste? And people going to the doctors have high blood pressure because of what somebody said on Facebook. Somebody thought, I've got high blood pressure problem. I told somebody the other day he was all stressed out, having a drama attack. And I said, best thing you can do is just get off Facebook. It'd be health-wise, it'd be just good for you. But we got this technology, see. This is the world system. It's controlling us, and it's got every bit of information on us that this world needs, huh? That's the Babylonian system, and it's anti-God. It's anti-God. It's against God. It's against Christ. Now listen, here we go at the end here. I'm getting to the end. God called us to be live in this world. We can't help that. We have to live in the world, but we're not to be a part of it in the same way. The only way that we have a ministry is in this world. We can't cloister ourselves up in a convent somewhere and brick wall around there, and we're all living in here, peering out a hole out there somewhere, see what's going on outside. No, he put us in the world so that we can be a witness and we can tell people about Christ. And that's why when nothing changed, and Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus went and he told old Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. So he knew all about God's law. He even taught God's law. He was a teacher. But he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Nothing changed in the ark. Nothing changed with the law. You must be born again. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say listen. He didn't say listen. You got to be baptized. You got to join the church. You got to be confirmed. You got to stand on your head and do bow wows, whatever. You know, nothing. He said you must be born again. A religious man, and Nicodemus. He said, well, I'm confused. He says, how can a man be born again? He said, it's a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual birth. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's when you see yourself as helpless and you can't do it. And you see that what you are, saved from yourself more than anything, you see what you are, that you're just born sinner and your heart hadn't changed and your heart's your problem. You know your heart's your problem, and we are our worst enemy. Don't blame everything on Satan. It's us. And you say, Lord, I can't do a thing about it. Technology ain't going to help you here. Technology ain't going to do a thing for you. Facebook ain't leading anybody to Christ. Although you can, we got our messages going on there. They delete half of the stuff. They won't let us play the music. Oh, you might be breaking a copyright law. We might not. Huh? Old song like them old hymns, they ain't got no copyrights on them. But they, if Paul was up there playing his guitar, they'd cut it. You might not have copyrights. We can't have that. Let me worry about it, you know. Well, I can put any, if you want to put any ungodly thing on there, they'll put that on there. World's not going to save you. Technology's not going to save you. Money's not going to save you. When you go, you ain't going to take, you know how much you're going to, you know, there was an old saying about a man, a real wealthy guy, and he died, and they was standing there at the casket, a couple of them, they look in there, he said, I wonder how much he left. The guy said, all of it. You know, I wonder how much he left behind. The guy said, all of it. Left all of it. It's not going to help you. Huh? You got to be born again. You're born by the Spirit, by confessing with your mouth that you're a sinner and asking Jesus to forgive you, come into your heart. Buddy, he'll save you. He's still in the saving business. And so that's my prayer today. You know, every person makes a choice one way or the other. The final thing is, who do you want controlling your life? You want to have the world system, Babylon, technology controlling your life, or Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? You can call on Him today and be saved, and we'll have an invitation. It's my prayer, if you're not saved, that you get saved today. And we'll thank the Lord ahead of time for that.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn number 270, Just As I Am.
Yeah.